sitting up front. I appreciate you guys and ladies. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This pew over here, y'all are getting pretty full. You're going to have to spread to that second pew. That's good because it's empty. And the third one. So isn't that something how certain little areas nobody will sit in? But amen. We're believing the Lord to fill the house with hungry people. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able. We could just stop right there. He is able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I believe that today. Do you believe that? I believe that scripture. I stand on that scripture. I want to preach to you on this subject, more power than you think. More power than you think. Turn to somebody and tell them exactly that. You have more power than you think. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated today. It's one of the most important organs in our body. The human brain is the most complicated part of our body. And because it is, there's many things about our brain that we do not completely understand at this time. But here are some facts, some fun information about our brains. The human brain weighs about 3 pounds. About 75% of the brain is made up of water. That means that dehydration, even in small amounts, it negatively affects our brains. The brain has capacity to generate about 23 watts of power when it's fully awake. Isn't that interesting? Our brains use 20% of the oxygen and blood in our bodies. It's a very, very important organ. Blood vessels within the brain, if stretched out, they would reach almost 100,000 miles in length. Isn't that awesome? There are 100 billion, with a B, billion neurons present within the brain. 100 billion neurons. Something you may not know, the brain cannot feel pain. The brain cannot feel pain. It interprets signals of pain that are sent to it, but it cannot feel pain itself. A headache is actually in the muscles and in the tissue surrounding the brain. Isn't that amazing? Our brain's storage capacity is virtually unlimited. Even though sometimes it doesn't feel like that. It feels like, oh, I just can't learn anymore. But there's no such thing as learning so much that we can't retain any more information. The brain has endless power and doesn't get used up like our data storage on our phones or computers. How amazing, how absolutely incredible how God fashioned our brains to help us think and to reason and remember and learn. And the human brain is powerful when it's put to use. Inventions and technology and medical science and educational institutions, the power to think, it has transformed the world. Our brains have extraordinary power to problem solve. You just give your brain a problem to solve and it'll go to work trying to figure out the solution. Even sometimes during dreams, your brain is there working, trying to put the pieces together. And there are remarkable stories of historical figures who came up with an idea or solved a problem while they were sleeping in their dreams. Thank God for the brain. Thank God for creating us different than all the rest of His creatures and giving us the ability to think at the amazing level that our human brain is capable of. However, our brains, we learn to think based on what we've learned to be true. We start learning immediately when a baby is born. Even before a baby is born, they learn to recognize sounds and sensations, and that learning increases after birth, and we start to learn how to process things through our senses. We learn that it hurts to touch a hot stove. We learn that. It's not good to run out into traffic. We learn those things. We learn that 1,000 divided by 10 is 100, and we learn skills that we use in our careers. We learn to identify others in relationships and learning how to talk and communicate. And some learn that quite well, some not so much. But we learn. And our thinking develops on what we've learned is true. Thank God for all of that. But I've come to preach to somebody today that sometimes... sometimes we have to learn how to forget everything that we've learned. There are some moments in life that we just cannot think our way through that situation. There are some times in our lives that we have to push beyond what our studies in school have taught us and what our life experience has been and what our developmental influences were. And sometimes we have to shut our thinking off in order to allow God to work in our lives. I've come to tell somebody today, you have more power than what your brain can think of. You have more ability than what you can figure out with your mind. You have more power than what you think. Hallelujah. Everything we know is based on laws of nature, laws of science, laws that were established by our experiences, but God has the ability to work outside these laws, and He established them in the beginning so that if God established those laws, then He can choose to put them on hold. He can choose to change them or to bend them if He desires. He can choose to completely do away with them. We know the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Through education, we know that really it's because the earth spins. It's because the earth spins toward the east from our reference, and so the sun, the moon, and the planets and the stars, they all seem to rise in the east and make their way westward across the sky, but it's all relative. And God, who stands outside of time and outside of space, God who said heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool, Almighty God, the creator of everything and everyone, can, if He so desires, cause the earth to pause and to stand still, so it seems that the sun is standing still, and the moon and the stars and the planets have paused for a moment or a few hours. And God, in fact, did that sort of thing. Why would God do something like that? Because it was at the word of a man. The city of Gibeon had made peace with Israel, and that made the kings around them angry. And so five kingdoms gathered their great armies together to destroy Gibeon because they were friends with Israel. And Joshua, the leader of Israel, gets a cry from help from Gibeon. And the Lord says to Joshua, "Fear them not, for I've delivered them into your hand." And the army of Israel came to Gibeon's defense, and they were winning the battle against the enemy of their friend. They were having success. They were having victory. But then all of a sudden, it's about to get dark. And reading in Joshua 10 and 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Can you imagine that? And there was no day like it before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Can you just imagine with me that day? Here comes one of Joshua's lieutenants, and he says, Joshua, I don't know what we're going to do. We are winning the battle. We are having success. But the sun's about to go down, and the enemy's about to get away. And what a shame, because we almost had them. We almost had defeated them. If we just had a few more hours of daylight, we could be successful. But there's nothing we can do, and I guess we're just going to have to admit that we're just limited because it's about to get dark, and that's what experience had taught them. That's what their mind was saying to them. That's what their conclusion, their thinking that had led to. But Joshua steps out in faith, and he speaks to the sun and commands it to stand still, and to the moon, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. Because God operates outside of what we've learned to think. He supersedes the laws of science and nature and experience. I have come with a message from the Lord for somebody here today. I know that through prayer, God spoke this to my heart, and we need to hear this. Harvest, you need to get this. You have more power than you think. You have more power than you think. Come on. I know experience tells you that you're never going to have victory. And I know your history tells you that you're always going to be sick. And I know your thinking has given you 50 reasons why it can't be done. But you hear me right now, Harvest. You've got more power than you think. Now unto him who is able, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able. God is able to do more than we think. Thinking is not going to get it done. Human reasoning is not going to bring the miracle. Education is not going to bring revival. Oh, thank God for all of those things, but we've got to get into the realm of the Spirit where we stop thinking through everything first, and we learn to operate in a dimension of faith, the dimension of a supernatural, the dimension of miracles, signs and wonders that go beyond our thinking, beyond our learned behaviors, into a realm that is truly supernatural. You've got more power than what you think. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. I tell you today, if Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus, if he healed a blind man, then you have the ability to lay your hands on a blind person and command their eyes to start to see. If Jesus had the power to reach down and pick up that ear that Peter's sword had just sliced off and put that ear back into place, then you have power to speak to a broken situation and command the pieces to be put back together again. Oh, if Jesus loosed that woman from the spirit of infirmity she'd had for 18 years, then maybe it's been 18 years that somebody's been dealing with something, but you have the power to speak the word of faith and to declare it made whole. Come on, if Jesus raised Lazarus after he'd been dead for 4 days, then you have the power to speak to a dead situation You have the power to proclaim to a dead relationship, a dead church, a dead body, and speak life into it. Greater works than these shall you do. You have more power than what you think. Sometimes you got to stop thinking and you got to walk by faith. Sometimes you got to put the mind aside and said, I'm standing on God's word and I'm proclaiming it by faith. Amen, amen. We just came from NAYC in St. Louis, Missouri a few weeks ago. One of the largest Christian youth conferences in the world. And some of our group got to go. Isn't that awesome? Brother Matt Tuttle preached a message of faith on Friday night entitled, You Can't Measure a Miracle. You see, you can't measure God. He's larger than anything we understand. We can't even fathom his power. He's greater than any situation we could ever face. And yet we go around measuring what God can do. And we go around trying, well, I know God could heal a headache, but somebody that's blind, now don't get crazy on us. Somebody that's dead, now come on. God can heal a toe ache, but man, when it comes to opening deaf ears, and we start measuring this and measuring that. Oh, God could save that person. God could save that family, but oh, that one, I don't know about them. Oh, that backslider, that drug addict, that kid at school dressed in goth, I just don't know about them. Come on, we need to throw our little measuring tape in the trash. God is able to do more than what you can think. He's able to do more than what you can measure. You can't measure God. You can't measure a miracle. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. There is nothing that is too hard for God to do. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you and in you and in you and in you and in me. That kind of power is inside of us. Come on, has anybody been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Then you have that kind of power. You have that kind of authority. You have that kind of strength. It's inside of you. It's not you. It's what's inside of you. It's the power of Almighty God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. I feel that. You need to stop letting that power lie dormant, and you need to stir it up and start using it and put it to work at Price Cutter and put it to work at school and put it to work on the job. With God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. You have more power than what you think. You have more power than you're thinking. You have more power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to stop thinking their way out of a miracle. You need to stop thinking your way out of a miracle. Oh, you want to believe for it. You want to pray for it. You want to claim it. You want to speak the word of faith. But then your mind gets in the way. And your thinking talks you out of it. And you start analyzing it. And you start, well, let's qualify this, and you reason, and you deliberate, and you get the human brain involved. Come on, stop thinking your way out of a miracle. Sometimes you got to just put your mind on hold, and you got to speak the word of faith. You got to just declare a miracle. I know it doesn't all add up, but don't you worry about the math. You let God balance it all out. Come on, you let God figure everything out. You just declare faith. You just speak life. You just proclaim healing. You thank God for the miracle. And when your mind tries to kick in again, and those 100 billion neurons start to try to operate to fix things, you say, oh no, this is bigger than what you are. This is greater than what you are. And I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to depend on Him. Come on, you keep proclaiming the word of truth. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 Corinthians 2:5. My faith stands not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Come on, you declare faith, you declare victory, you declare you've got more power than what you think. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to show us something. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. See, we live in a body of flesh. But we got to remember, this is a spiritual thing. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are those strongholds? They are not literal walls of concrete and stone, because this is a spiritual battle, but this battle is fought in our thinking. And so they are strongholds in the mind. Look at verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Stop thinking your way out of a miracle. Stop analyzing all the reasons why it can't happen and why God can't do it. Stop coming up with every excuse why you can't have victory, why you can't overcome addiction, why you can't be faithful to church, why you can't be faithful in giving. Stop thinking so much. You bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You have more power than what your mind can think. Come on. I just feel something has been building. Something has been, God has been working. He has been preparing some hearts, and there's no telling what's going to happen in this house today. Has anybody ever driven a go-kart? You driven a go-kart? A golf cart? What happens when you push that pedal to the metal? It takes off. Sometimes it takes off kind of fast. But you just keep that pedal to the metal, what happens? At a certain point, it levels out. On most go-karts and golf carts, because it has a governor. It has a limit on what that engine could do. The engine could do a whole lot more, but it has a limit. Sister McCoy used to have a car that had a governor on it, thank the Lord. And at some speed that she should not have been going, it would shut off. And that was as fast as that car was able to go. But it could have gone faster if there wasn't a governor on the engine. I'm speaking to somebody here today. You have a governor that's been placed on the power that God has placed inside of you. And it's called your thinking.
Come on, it's like that sports car that's designed. It's designed to go way faster, but there's a limit placed on it. And somehow you've got to get to the place that you break that governor off of you. You break that governor off the power of the Holy Ghost. You break that limit off of what God wants to do through you. Come on, you've got the fire of the Spirit inside of you. And there is a limitless potential to what God wants to use you for. But your thinking is putting a limit on what God can do. It limits where God can only do so much. And you've got faith for some things. But don't you get crazy because, oh, that's beyond our faith. Come on, somebody needs to break that governor off their thinking today. And you need to turn the power of the Holy Ghost loose in your life. He's placed more potential in you than what you're using today. There's more than what you're using right now. You've got to stop thinking your way out of a miracle and let God do it and let God work. Somebody turn God loose in your life today. Amen. In Matthew chapter 17, we read how a man came to Jesus and asked him to help his son. The son had a devil, we learn, and that devil was trying to kill him. He would have seizures and he would fall into the fire and he would fall into the water. And the man said, well, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him. Read with me in Matthew chapter 17, verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. There is power in what we speak. There is power in what comes out of our mouth. Come on, what words are we speaking? What are we putting out there into the atmosphere? The power of life and death is in the tongue. You need to stop speaking unbelief and confusion and fear and gossip. And you need to start speaking faith. You need to start declaring the word of God. It would do every one of us good to go on a 7-day fast of negative, fearful, unbelieving words. And for 7 days, make a commitment. The only thing that's going to come out of my mouth is going to be a word of faith. It's going to be encouragement. It's going to be a declaration of God's power and God's goodness and God's faithfulness. Nothing depressing, no gossip, but only faith. I believe it'll change our life. I believe it'll change our church. I believe it'll bring revival like we've never seen. There is power in what we speak. Amen. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to that mountain, remove. In Mark's writing, he puts it like this. He says, Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Whosoever. That's anybody. Come on, that's anybody. It doesn't mean that the pastor's got to say it. It doesn't mean that you got to be in church for 30 years before you can speak the word of faith. It doesn't mean that you have to go to Bible school and only if you can quote the whole New Testament. No, whosoever, that means every single one of us can speak the word of faith.
Don't listen to the mountain. Too many people are listening to the mountain. We're not supposed to listen to the mountain. You're supposed to speak to the mountain. Come on. You need to stop listening to doubt and fear and unbelief. That mountain will speak to you if you'll let it. It'll tell you all the reasons why you can't have a miracle. Every single way you're going to fall short. That mountain will get right up in your face and tell you how you're going to be a failure. But somebody today needs to stop listening to that mountain. Come on. You need to stop listening to that voice and you need to declare a word of faith. You're not supposed to listen to the mountain. You're supposed to speak to it. There's power in what you say. There's power in what you speak. Demons flee. People are healed. Lives are delivered because we speak by the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. Kendon, when you're walking through the halls of that school, you are the representation of Jesus Christ to that school. Come on. We know Jesus robed himself in flesh. God robed himself in flesh, came in the form of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He ascended back to heaven. He sent his Spirit, the Comforter. Jesus is not here in the flesh except for, yes, he is, because his Spirit's inside of you. Sometimes we know, oh, if Jesus came walking into this place today, everybody would be healed. Well, I want to tell you, the same Spirit's here. The same Spirit is here. Hallie, that same Spirit is inside you. Come on, somebody. You are the representation of Jesus Christ. And when you speak it in the name of Jesus, you are invoking the authority of the name of the mighty God in Christ. Come on, is there any mountains in this place today? Does anybody have a mountain that you need moved? It's something bigger than what you can do. It's something greater than what you can think. But you just kind of have enough faith to say God can do it. God is able. And so I'm going to declare it by faith today. Would you stand with me today? We're going to do that here. We're going to speak to some mountains. We're going to watch them start moving. Come on, we're going to see some mountains move. Today, we're going to speak it and then we are going to act as if it has already happened. Faith that moves mountains. Faith that moves. Come on, when we get this and when we speak the word of faith to that mountain, when we really get this, then that means that we'll speak to that mountain and then we'll move as if the mountain's already moving. Oh, that's crazy, Pastor. I've got to see it to believe it, some people say. No, that's not how it works with God. Believing is seeing. You believe it. You stand upon the word of God and you declare it by faith and you will see it. Come on, is there anybody here? You're facing a mountain. You've got a mountain in your family. You've got a mountain in your life. You've got a situation that's impossible. But you've got just enough crazy faith here today that you're willing to speak to that mountain and command it to move. If you're here today and you're facing a mountain, I want you to come forward and we're going to speak to that in just a moment. Would you come forward today by faith? I'm going to speak to that mountain. I'm going to speak to, come on, this is your opportunity. I'm going to speak to that situation. I'm going to speak to that situation. I'm going to speak to that family relationship. I'm going to speak to that situation or that lost loved one. I'm going to speak to that mountain. I want to share a story in closing. I'd heard about this quite a few years ago, and I was reminded of it when God dealt with me to preach this today. The year was 1973. Pastor Ray Crawford of Grace Church on the Mount
in Netcong, New Jersey. He was in a bind with no answer in sight. They just finished construction on their new building. It was built on Kingtown Mountain. But they'd run into problems with their permits. And one specific thing was keeping them from moving into their new sanctuary. They had to have sufficient parking space in the back of their building, or else they would not get their occupancy papers. The problem was, the church literally was built on Kingtown Mountain. And there was no room for parking in the rear of the building because it was literally a mountain. Oh, it could be done, but there was no way they could afford the enormous cost of all the equipment and technology it would take to move that section of the mountain. The next Sunday morning, Pastor Crawford reminds the church, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain, remove to yonder place, and it shall remove. And they called a special prayer meeting and they prayed that God would move the mountain. Come on, that's crazy faith. The next morning, the phone rang. It was the telephone company. They were planning to build a new facility somewhere close by there, and it was a swampy area. Can you get it? And they needed some fill material. They needed a massive amount of dirt. Is there any way that you could sell some of that mountain behind you? In 1 month, the phone company had hauled 40,000 square yards of dirt away. Plus, they paid the church $25,000 in the 70s. That's like $150,000 today. And they leveled it all to get it ready for paving for the parking lot. Now, I'd heard this story years ago, and I was reminded about it, but I wanted to verify that it was true. So yesterday, I emailed the secretary of Grace Church on the Mount in Netcong, New Jersey, and I said, hey, there's this story that I've heard about, and I found the description on the internet. Is this even true? She replied back. She said, yes, it is true. My family knew that pastor. He's passed away since, but it's a story of the history of this church. Come on. If that's what God needed to do, then God could literally move a mountain. He's just looking for somebody that's going to realize this is greater than what I can think of. And so I'm going to speak to that mountain. I'm going to use the power that He's given me. I've got to realize there's more power than what I can think. There's more power than what human beings can do. There's more power than any natural human ability. Come on, we're facing some mountains. We're facing some things that are greater than we are. But you have the power inside of you. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the name of Jesus. And I want you to declare with faith today. Come on. We're not going to beg. Hang on just a second. We're not going to beg. Oh, God, please. There can be a time for that, but this is not it. Oh, God, somehow, somewhere. We're going to speak a word of faith. You remember Thursday night at Youth Congress, young people? If you have a lost brother, if you have a lost child, I want you to speak the word of faith. They shall come home. They shall pray through. They shall be delivered.
they shall be healed. There shall be revival. There shall be a breakthrough. There shall be a miracle. Come on. Right now, we're going to speak the word of faith, and I believe we're going to see some mountains move today. In the name of Jesus, God, you see every need. You see every situation. You see every lost loved one. God, you know every circumstance. You see every mountain that we've come up against. But in the name of Jesus, we stand upon the word of God, and we speak to that mountain, and we command it to be moved. In the name of Jesus. Come on. In the name of Jesus, they shall be healed. In the name of Jesus, they shall be saved. In the name of Jesus, they shall be delivered. In the name of Jesus, this mountain is going to move. It shall be done. Because